I'm Dr. Scott, the pinball guy. Dr. Scott comes from Rocky Horror Picture Show, and I hope to be performing Saturday at midnight at the Crossroads Cinema. And that's the home of Rocky Horror in Chicago, other than Midnight Madness, which plays only once a month at the Music Box. I have the store in Maumee. This is Ron Kuhn, who's my ace tech. He's been working with me almost 10 years now, and on a part-time basis, and a few years ago, I finally convinced him to work for me full-time. I import or re-import containers as a source for pinball machines, and I probably do one or two a year, and a 40-foot container will hold 72 machines, and it is absolutely amazing what we find. This is mostly going to be a show-and-tell sort of seminar, and if you guys have seen something, please raise your hand and share the horror stories. When I talk about field engineering, it's like not when you're going out on a service call and you have all your tools with you. It's that frightening moment when you don't have a bridge rectifier. You don't have the lockdown wrench for a Data East Stern game. Just a simple tip is these 6-in-1 screwdrivers. The one end is a 5/16, so if you don't have the wrench, you just kind of extend it and really wrench it and get the machine locked down. Or a coin mech that won't fail you. I like to use Imanex coin mechs because there's no moving parts. But what happens when you have a coin mech that just, you don't have any lubricant and the swing arm doesn't want to turn? We found this one in a game in the last container.
Be surprised. It'll accept any currency.
Straight line.
It's a straight line. Let's see. Toilet paper tube.
Can you guys see that okay?
It just drops straight through.
Kind of scary. Accepts dimes, nickels, pennies, you name it.
So what country did that come from?
The container came from Italy, but there was a lot of Romanian coins in the machines. So
this one has GLD on it.
Gildish. What?
Gildish.
Okay. What else we got?
This one's nice. Put that one there.
Oh.
This one's fun. How many guys have blown speakers once in a while? What about if they tear? Rip. How about this one? Hot glue. Very interesting. I saw this in, was it Dracula, I believe.
So are you recommending these as solutions?
No. Yeah, you're at the there's a dollar store with the hot glue gun, and you don't have a speaker in your toolbox.
Oh, trust me, the sound is great on this thing. An easy fix for something like this would probably be if you guys got nail polish. Don't mind me wearing some here. Nail polish and toilet paper instead of the hot glue. That way it doesn't cause that muffling sound. I mean, who wants it? It's freaky. But it's a souvenir. I don't want to take it back.
I'll take it.
Fine. It's yours.
I love souvenirs.
Oh, there's a few more under here.
Table cars.
Okay. Almost every Adams family we get has the broken turntable. And fortunately, you know, there's the reproduction pieces. But what happens when you don't have a replacement turntable?
Not only do they come in blue, gold, how about sheet metal?
It is absolutely amazing that someone actually, you know, fabricated a plate, screwed it onto the plastic. And also what's interesting is that the gears or the arms underneath were also fabricated.
I've seen that on the last three items that we worked on. Brass, and this one's lead. You guys can't keep this one.
No, there's so many good parts in there. I forgot to build that one. But
writing them down to make a base for it too.
So, does anybody have anything they want to add? As things that they have seen. No?
I'm sure there's some Adams families out there that have been modified like this one.
What's that? Oh, fuses. God, the horror stories we've seen with fuses. The worst one I ever had was a cut bolt tied into the holders, a 10-penny no blow. But a lot of times we'll just see wires added. We see this a lot with the European pinball machines because they use the smaller fuses, and when they have the regular size.
Oh, yeah, they came up with an adapter. Check this one out. It's a pain in the ass to solder these fuses because they run and melt the filaments inside. So somebody had some talent on their hands there.
But that one's a good one because you can have both the best of both worlds in that one.
Who wants freebies?
I'll take them. Do you ever get them wrapped in tinfoil like a cookie?
I always tell my customers when I'm delivering a pinball machine, we talk about the fuse, little 101, and I say, promise me you will never, ever wrap a fuse in foil. I did have a customer do that on a taxi in the high voltage circuit. And this was before you could get the replacement high voltage sections. And actually just absolutely fried the driver board, fried the display, did about $300 worth of damage. And don't recommend that. This one we found rather interesting was, broken flipper rubbers. Nothing more frustrating than playing a game when you don't have a rubber. But what if you don't have a rubber to replace it?
Who's good with sewing?
This one came from Japan. The can't really see it, but it's meticulously hand stitched.
You got your flashlight.
I always have a flashlight. What tech doesn't have? And I love the LEDs. Gotta do what you gotta do.
Who's good with sewing? How many points is that? Somebody's gotta take this one home and try it out.
Anybody got
give
to
it
take
to
it? I don't want to take
I'll
everything.
I'll put the make it with shared auction.
Right. There we go. There you go.
That's too rare.
A fine example of Japanese craftsmanship.
My personal favorite is repairing bridge rectifiers, four diodes. And I never really understood why a bridge rectifier is a square box of epoxy. And usually one side will short out, and you end up replacing the whole bridge rectifier. But what do you do if you don't have a replacement bridge, but you have some diodes?
Well, might you ask?
Take a quarter-inch drill, drill a hole through the shorted side, and then strap a diode across those points. I am absolutely impressed with this one. I never thought you could break the short. So
now they were terrible. Howdy damn.
The thing was is we had that on a machine on the floor for a few months. And we go with the adage, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And we never caught that until the diode failed. We had it short. And in fact, that was the
Super Mario.
Hey, Ron, we put up the auction too.
Yeah.
I was going to let Clay have it. This would be wonderful for a repair guy.
He's going to have to put on a tag.
All right, fine.
Brings the box for his side thing.
We'll have to do much better auction, so I'll have to come up front. About a couple of things, and I'll explain
the
things in the
program. What else we got under there?
Oh, going back to the band portion, you guys have had broken bands, of course, en route. We've seen one where they used your underwear strap.
That's
scary.
Yeah. Vacuum cleaner belts I see a lot.
Okay, well, we can go to batteries.
Yeah, we can go to batteries.
Okay. I've seen a couple of variations. You guys see any of these?
Battery pack. Your basic Radio Shack battery pack. Tape a few things together.
Well, speaking of tapes.
You take three double A's and you actually solder the connections together. Actually solder the battery together. Got to do what you got to do.
Imagine they got pretty warm.
And nothing worse than the battery holder that's had a leaky battery. And
explain to me, will it work on one?
No, but it will work on the one that's corroded. The other trick that I have been guilty of is take solder wick and loop it through the hole and twist it, and that'll help the continuity.
No, I'm sure somebody wants these. I don't know about that one.
We'll use it.
Oh, it's in your lunch. Got a couple more up here.
Okay.
What is this?
The plunger. And usually the plastic tip breaks off, and you throw it away and replace it.
So somebody's got a good repair for this one. How about aluminum?
I saw better than that. Pencils.
Yes, I've used pencils.
Pencils.
Also for shine coils.
Yeah.
A pencil works real good for the broken plastic piece.
How long can that last? Lasts for long enough.
Does it really?
They're always in there.
But that is so meticulously engineered. I mean, it is perfect.
In fact, we can pass this around if you guys want to look at the detail on this. They spent a lot of time on this one.
That's the scary part.
Another one that I'm sure everyone has seen, but I thought I'd show it, is my biggest complaint of a poor operator is the plunger tip that has been ignored, where you end up with the steel rod nicking the steel ball, and in a few weeks, few days, you end up with a spinning razor blade tearing up the playfield. So something is better than nothing. So how about using a pool cue tip? And sometimes the...
How do you track it?
Sometimes there'll be a various lengths of plunger rods, and you have the short plunger rod, and you don't have any longer ones. This is a nice way to extend the rod by that fraction of an inch.
Auction.
You bet.
All right, it's all yours.
Must be getting down there now.
Yep. Got two of them here left. I'd say these last two are priceless.
And these will be passed around. Dot matrix display. Only once in my life have I ever been cheap to buy the glass only. Although I take that back, there was a time when the 16 line displays failed, and to carefully install the glass wire by wire by wire. But what if you have a good glass but bad computer on the back, and a bad glass, so someone took two displays and meticulously piggybacked wire by wire by wire.
Look at this rat.
Did it work?
Who wants to test it?
I don't know. I think when we saw that, we just immediately replaced it and said, put that in the box for Expo.
Oh, man. Oh, almost dropped it.
Don't break it.
Want to save the last one for a little bit? See if anybody's got some horror stories of their own.
Someone's got to. Please share. We got some time to fill here.
Oh, yeah, a lot of time.
Me?
Okay.
All I can say generally, without, you know, thinking too hard on this, going to guys' warehouses to get the re-imports, they don't know what they're doing, and there's just hack jobs everywhere. The only thing I can think of is a fun house that I bought on a certain auction online thing, which you know what we're talking about, and it supposedly worked, but beware, because there was no picture of it on. So I got it, and a certain seller that is supposedly reputable online said it worked, okay? Got it home, plugged it in, and it said check F fuse whatever 114, 115. I said, what? I said, well, I hadn't blown a fuse. Well, there was this horrible hack job that would beat everything you've shown. And the guy tried to do tech support on the phone, and I said, this board is hacked. So he said, okay, I'll send one out of my game, fine, trade. Then it was done, and I consider myself very fortunate. But it was something, what is that thing that says on Funhouse, check fuse F114 or F1 whatever to tell you it's a blown fuse, but it's not a blown fuse? And you
share probably the traces to the bridge rectifier.
Right, and it was hacked.
The problem with changing bridge rectifiers, if your soldering iron isn't hot enough, the traces end up dissipating the heat, and it's very difficult.
He tried to get me to do it, and you don't want me to do board repair. And I told him that. I said, you don't want me to fix this. I said, there's no way this happened in shipping. You're trying to say it happened in shipping. What did the guy do? Take the game out and play it and melt the boards? You know?
The adage of, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And a lot of times in transport, things can get shaken up. In fact, I'm having a horror story for right now with a firepower I sent to California. And it was working just fine at the store, and he plugs it in, and smoke comes out. So
he hacked it, and then something came loose in shipping, and he blamed it on shipping. Maybe a leg came loose or something.
No, we didn't hack the board.
No, I'm saying my situation.
Oh, your situation. So yeah. Things can happen. Yeah, if you have a weak diode on a coil, and in shipping that vibrates off, and you don't have the diode as an anti-spike device. They'll send a shock to the drive transistor shorts, and the coil stays energized. So, yeah, you got to be really careful with eBay. I know of one guy who, when he takes a picture of machines that he's selling, he says that they're shopped. He will actually take some industrial oil and spread it on the play field so it's got a nice waxy shine. And then wipes it off. But when you get the machine, it's covered with this goo. I've had customers come into the store. This one guy, he tortured himself going from machine to machine, trying to decide what game he might want to buy. If you haven't been to my store, or I want to extend a personal invitation to anyone to come to my store. It is on US 20, less than a half mile south of exit 59 on the Ohio Turnpike. I've had a lot of visitors come, you know, when they go to the PaySax show in Akron. They'll be coming back via the Turnpike, and they just stop on by. I have over 100 pinball machines set up in one room. It's a little bit bigger than Tim Arnold's Pinball Museum. But anyway, this guy searched trying to find, and he ended up choosing one. He ended up buying the game online, and this was in early December. The machine shows up, just before Christmas, and of course it doesn't work, and he calls me up. This is my busiest time of year. I'm barely able to keep up with the deliveries I have to do, and wants me to do a service call on the machine. He didn't buy it from me. And I said, I'll be glad to take care of you in January.
I had an anti-theft device on an EM game I bought from a guy. And he said, be careful to lift that up. It's like, why? It's falling on the bottom. And he'd had people breaking in the bottom under the coin boxes. He He put a piece of wood in it. He had put screws through and nails and stuff. So when people like kick it sight unseen or stick their hand in it, it worked really good because he had a problem in this one area. He took that game in there and he came in one time and there was blood all over the floor under the game.
In fact, I have a pizza shop where I've got a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle machine and it still makes good money until someone must have known about the hole in the bottom of the machine where there was the sound buffle port and ripped that all out and got his hand and helped himself to some quarters. I found a, I was at a garage sale, found a metal trivet, God bless our house, 4-inch thing, cast iron, and just put it over on top and screwed, put some screws into it. And got to do what you got to do.
Okay. You scary to show people this last one?
Okay. Multi-products, fabulous company. Great products. Every couple times a year, I give Mark a call and plead with him, I've got this motor. Can you just repair it? And lately, I guess Multi-products does not do repairs. I mean, they'll sell entire motors if they have it in stock or go to Margo or Pinball Resource, and thank goodness for those companies, because 5 years ago, trying to get a thing motor repaired or replaced was virtually impossible. Now I just thought, Steve, a call, I need a thing motor, and $140 put it there. And, but what if you don't have access to Multi-products? What if you don't have replacement gears?
Judge Dredd.
And that motor's a bitch to get to anyway. But this gets the... In fact, I almost wanted to create a Hall of Fame for field engineering.
In fact, drum roll. They're going to have a hell of a time cleaning this up, this sheet.
A Volkswagen windshield wiper motor.
Look at the detail on this baby. You guys can come up and touch it if you want.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to pass that around. Still a little early. But this one we're going to keep. It just absolutely blows me away.
Yeah, but did it work?
Oh, don't. Yeah. No gears. Fastest planet you've ever seen in your life.
It did work, didn't it? Yeah, well, that was one of the last things when it changed.
What voltage does that
have? 12 volts. 12 volts, windshield wiper motor. What would we say at 79? Wants to verify that they can do that too. So.
This is why we like to do it first thing on Friday morning. There's not hundreds of people here. And we're just having fun BSing.
And they definitely left the wires.
Anybody else? Oh, lively crap.
I have a question. Sure. Have you ever gotten one of those whirlwinds where the fan motor was so screwed up that it screeches like a woman being murdered? Because a friend of mine had one. It's hilarious. I didn't want him to fix it. Have you ever gotten one of those things?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
A lot of times you can, it depends upon the motor that you can actually take it apart. Sometimes you can change the gears. And mostly you have to kind of clean up the WD-40 is not a lubricant. Nowhere on the can does it say lubricant. And it just kind of turns into this dumpy gel that just congeals. But, thank goodness there are parts out there.
Do you have WD-40 in your shop?
Oh, in the shop. There is that place where it is usable.
I use it for taking the glue from stickers that I put on my outboard motor when it was in bass tournaments. That's what I use WD-40 for, but that's about it. It does take off that sticky part from stickers really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One thing I don't understand are these girly stickers on the machines from Europe. They'll be over speaker panels, all of the cabinets. I don't know, do they come with cigarettes or what? But we will need stickers. Yeah, we always have to put them. Yes.
I was working on a Klondike one time, and I opened the coin door, and there was a wall mount or a surface mount light switch, like a regular room light switch, only the brown plastic ones, and the ball drain switch was out of adjustment, and they put this wall switch in there, light switch, so you had, when the ball drained, you had to open the coin door, throw the switch, and the machine would do the bonus and kick it out. But every time the ball drained, you had to open the coin door and turn on the drain light switch. It's okay, it was just got too big.
So they could figure out which pair of contacts they had to switch around, but they couldn't figure out what was wrong with the pair of contacts.
Yeah. There was a Bally machine. I think I am selling to Paysac. Hootenanny, I think. The coil got shorted, and so when you tried to start the game, it wouldn't. So there was a dowel rod on the side of the cabinet, and to start the game, you had to hit the dowel rod, and it would energize the start relay, and the game would play just fine then. A couple years ago, I did a seminar on just basic horror stories, and I think one of the worst ones was a Phantom of the Opera, and there was the remnants of a dead cat inside. And, there was a Phantom of the Opera. One of my customers, John Hogue, bought it, and his wife complained about the game because every time you drain the ball, you hear the woman scream. And you know, it's like she thought, "What's going on down there?" And he ended up trading that machine back for another game, and just the scream.
I had a pitching bat game once where they drilled a hole through it and tied a rope to the bat. The coil had shorted out, so they pushed the button to pitch, and then the bat, they pulled the rope. That was pretty good.
You gotta do what you gotta do. It's when trying to do service via telephone, the customer buys a machine and they try to describe the problem. I always try to tell them, you know, don't be afraid to open up the machine, and you know, if a wire is vibrated itself loose, take a Radio Shack solder iron and solder it back. Or when the bracket fails, you'll find the coils duct taped to the bracket. That works. In fact, I've been guilty of that myself when you're in the field and say, just to get the machine up and running and come back. Then what's really frustrating is I'll not write it down, I try to make a mental note, I come back a month later to collect from the machine, and I was supposed to come back and fix that coil, but the machine, the flipper's still working with duct tape bracket.
But your ace repairer goes past duct tape and tack welds the bracket back together. It's pretty hard to tack weld when I thought about stuff.
Oh, God, yeah. Super glue does not work, no matter what. That's about it.
I have a question then.
Sure.
All right, you were talking about the smell thing, and I mean, any of us get reinforced, we want to know if there. You openly tell people, yes, there was a dead cat or whatever when you sell stuff, right? I mean, you openly tell customers. I don't know. My question is this. How do you get that smell? Do you have to replace the whole wood bottom, or what do you do to get that smell out? Because it's reimports, God knows what's in it. What are you doing to take care of that?
Lots of lice. I actually, there was no smell with it. It was just the smell. It had been sitting there for a long, long time. I remember I got one container from Puerto Rico, and it was a turtles. And opened opened it up, and there was this giant hissing cockroach greeting me. Uh-huh. Hello there.
Yes, sir. I love the story when you sell somebody a game and they call you and tell you it's not working, and you say, well, have you done anything? And they go, oh, no, it's just not working. So you go over and lift it up, and you find half their tools in it because they were trying to fix it themselves. I bet a quarter of the tools in my toolbox have come from games that people have said they haven't tried fixing. So have you seen that, too? You get calls from people and they've tried first?
Or the... No, I've never actually, you know, seen the tools. I remember one EM service call. In fact, I'll screen EM service calls. I'll ask them, have you tried fixing it yourself? And, oh, no. Have you tried any contact spray? In a positive tone. And I'll say, oh, yeah, I tried the contact spray. No, then I don't want to do it. There was one service call I did, and this is the reason I did it, is he had taken WD-40 and sprayed the entire inside, every relay bank, and he then has an oversized boat anchor. Or the guy used carbon tech to clean the contacts. Well, this doesn't leave any oily residue, but he didn't let the residue dissipate before he turned the machine on, and the thing exploded. All the wires turned black, and he took a dry powder fire extinguisher and tried to put the fire out. So everything was caustic. I gave him $50 for the lockdown.
Can I add to that? There was an EM electromechanical in a pawn shop, and it stunk like gasoline. And I played it one time, and I opened up. I said, I do not feel comfortable playing this game. He said, well, we want about $1,000 for it. And I said, never mind what you're asking. You've got an oily rag in there, and this thing's gasoline. I'm not playing this. You might want to tell your guy to take care of this, and you may not want this game set up right now. And I walked out. I mean, have you seen a lot of this with oil, gasoline? I mean, it's out of cabinets.
No, not that much. The one thing when using a hot wax, Tim Arnold's suggestion, is that the Johnson's paste wax, you don't want to leave, those are the classic oily rags that will self-combust. You've got to be real careful using Johnson's paste wax and leaving the rags behind. I also want to give a plug for Tim Arnold's Pinball Museum in Las Vegas. The strip center where he has it, as I said before, my opening remarks is that Rocky Horror Picture Show is one of my passions, and also I've been an active participant with Alcoholics Anonymous, and I've been sober for 19 years, and where Tim's museum is, to the left is an AA clubhouse. To the right is a theater that shows Rocky Horror. So in one strip center, three storefronts in a row, there are my passions and lives. So with that, I'll pass, and thank you very much.